Welcome back to the Lars Larson Show. Glad to have you with me. I'll get back to your calls in a moment. 866-439-5277. Emails go to talk@LarsLarson.com. Chuck DeVore joins me now, Vice President of National Initiatives at the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Chuck, good to have you back on the program.
Great to be with you again.
You know, I always wonder when I see news out of Austin what I should make of it, because Austin's a little bit different than a lot of the rest of the state of Texas. But I saw this story about the new rules that that Austin wants to impose on Uber and Lyft. I guess they're new rules. And it seems to me from a distance, I'm a fan of Uber. I've got no financial involvement. I've used Uber a few times, when I'm traveling. But other than that, I really don't have a dog in the fight, except that I think that it's a great innovative way of having the product that people want, which is transportation, fit a little better to the needs of the public and at a better price and more competition. So I'm a fan of it from that standpoint. But what are these new rules that Austin wants to impose that include fingerprinting of drivers as opposed to simply criminal background checks that are done by most cities to one extent or another on cab drivers or anyone else involved in transportation?
Well, the city of Austin wanted to impose basically the same exact rules on Uber and Lyft that it does on traditional taxi companies. Of course, we at the Texas Public Policy Foundation would argue that the taxi companies are overregulated and they need to have their regulations cut back.
Agreed.
But what Uber and Lyft do is that they do, as you said, a national background check. And the problem with going off of fingerprints, as the city of Austin City Council wants to do, is that a large number of people who have their fingerprints in the system for criminal activity were only charged and never convicted of a crime. Because, of course, when you're arrested, you're fingerprinted. And many times the judge and jury doesn't find the person who was arrested guilty of the crime. And so those fingerprints remain in the database. And many of them are not properly adjudicated. So you could apply to be a driver and make a little extra money after work. And then some bureaucrat down at City Hall in Austin would, oh, well, your fingerprints are in the system. You can't drive for a living.
Now, would they actually prohibit somebody from driving simply because their fingerprints are in the system? I've never been arrested for a criminal activity, but I do have my fingerprints in the system because I have a concealed carry permit. And so my fingerprints are in the system, I think, in Arizona, in Oregon, in Washington.
Right. These are, of course, for criminal activity. In other words, it's for an arrest that specific part of the system. So it's not for someone with a concealed carry. But more importantly, what I found interesting looking in the fine print is that in Austin, Uber and Lyft were prepared to pay 1% of their gross revenues to the city of Austin for the right to operate within Austin. The city council ordinance that was drafted up last year that this initiative would have overturned had it passed, it failed 56-44. So it was a pretty, more than 10-point loss, right? But the ordinance that the city of Austin city council drafted up says that if Uber and Lyft pay 2% of their gross revenues, now this is gross, not net, and so that would have a huge impact on their profit, of course.
Yeah.
If they pay 2% of their gross, they wouldn't have to do the fingerprinting. They could get along and do their standard business model if they paid double, right?
So if I'm understanding this right, if you make the argument that fingerprinting is necessary to get a proper background check, then the city is saying,
I know where you're going.
We will let you operate in an unsafe manner if you'll just give us more money. On the other hand, if you say that, having a fingerprint in addition to simply running somebody's picture ID, date of birth, name, and probably a few other data points that would give you an adequate criminal background check, then the fingerprinting is for no purpose whatsoever, right?
They're just doubling the amount of revenue that they'd be getting from Uber and Lyft. And what Uber and Lyft already do is a national background check for drivers convicted of DWI. Of course, that you definitely would want DWI, right?
Sure.
Fraud, sexual offense, use of a vehicle to commit a felony, gun-related violations, resisting or evading arrest, reckless driving, crime involving property damage, theft, acts of violence, or acts of terror, cannot drive for Uber or Lyft. So, it seems like a pretty nice comprehensive list of things that they're already screening for under their model. But here you have a progressive-minded city with UT Austin, right, a big old college campus right in the heart of the town, voting 56-44 to say, no, we don't like the alternative regulations promulgated by Uber and Lyft. In fact, a lot of the campaign made a big deal out of these are big companies, you know, say no to big corporations. And so, as a result, Uber and Lyft jointly said that they're leaving Austin effective today. They're gone.
On May the 9th, no more rides. Now, let me ask you, were all of these methods designed to make the public safer, or was most of this push, once you got into the fine print or read between the lines, were most of them aimed at simply protecting the taxi cab monopoly in Austin?
Well, I think there's a little bit of both. You know, clearly the existing taxi cab companies didn't want the competition, number one. Number two, I think the city council made a calculation that Uber and Lyft would not want to change their national business model to conform to Austin's demands, and therefore they'd pay double for the privilege of operating in the city of Austin.
So it was a shakedown.
So as a result, we lost Uber and Lyft. Now, I think it's really important for your listeners to understand that in downtown Austin, there's a place called 6th Street where there's a lot of drunken activity on Friday and Saturday night. A lot of the college kids, a lot of tourists, and not quite like it is in the French Quarter in New Orleans, but, you know, it's pretty active down there. So they say. I haven't been down there myself as an old married guy. And so, there's plenty of stories about taxi cab drivers that are licensed and regulated in Austin not working that area on Friday and Saturday night and instead going 20 miles to the north to the nice suburbs of Cedar Park and Pflugerville and Leander and working up there because they don't want to risk their taxi cab getting dirty with maybe somebody barfing in the back seat.
That's reasonable.
And as a result, these partygoers don't have an alternative if they've been out drinking on Saturday night or Friday night. And that's what Uber and Lyft could give them, because with surge pricing, you know, you'd have to pay more, but you could get a ride home and be safe. And now, as of today, that option is no longer available for people in Austin.
See, and that's what I worry about, because, you know, I've heard stories. I don't go out on, you know, the big drinking holidays either, like Cinco or New Year's Eve, because I just don't like taking my life in my hands. But I've heard stories where people will try to call for a cab and they'll be told, well, we might be able to get you one in an hour and a half. Well, I know the first inclination of most people is not, I'm not going to sit around here for an hour and a half when I've decided to go home. And again, it's a stupid decision to make. So they go get in their own car and try to drive home. If there were affordable and or reasonably priced, market priced transportation available on a fairly quick, demand kind of basis, they might say, yeah, I'll take an Uber home tonight, and then I'll get another one tomorrow morning, come back and pick up my car. So in other words, we're talking about a public safety issue as well.
Right, and the police chief of Austin, Art Acevedo, said as much in some comments to the city council. I think what we're going to have now, Lars, is a great opportunity. This is kind of like a social science experiment. Unfortunately, there may be some people losing their lives or being grievously injured because of this experiment. But what we're now going to be able to do is look at a major city in America, about 1 million people, and we're going to be able to see what the drunken driving fatality and injury rate was before Uber and Lyft, during, and now after, because they've gone away. And it should be fascinating to see whether there is a statistically significant difference between the before, during, and after.
Well, tonight is night one, so we'll look forward to talking to you maybe 6 months in and see how it's going. Chuck, thanks very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. Chuck DeVore from the Texas Public Policy Foundation. Back in a moment. I'll get to your calls. We got room for you in the best conversation in talk journalism. It's 866-439-5277.